Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon, we bring in an expert to answer your questions, to get and give you free advice. And today I'm chatting to the chairperson of the Irish Mortgage Advisors, Trevor Grant, who's with me in studio to answer your queries. Trevor, how's things?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you've a question for Trevor this afternoon. Just before we get into the listeners' queries, the banks, are they lending and are we borrowing?
Yeah, banks are definitely lending and they have a good appetite to lend. And we're absolutely looking to borrow. Applications to get approved are consistently at record levels, primarily by first-time buyers who account for maybe 60% of all applications. The challenge, Andrea, as you well know, is we don't have enough houses.
And that's where they're going up and up in terms of the bidding wars and all that's associated with that. Just before, as I said, we go to the questions, your top tip for people who are trying to apply for an application for the first time, Trevor?
Without question, and of course I'd say this, they should get market-based advice from a mortgage broker who can explain to them the various options that are available to them and what they need to do to make sure they're mortgage ready when they need to make the application. And ideally, if someone is thinking of buying, they'd have an initial chat 6 months out from when they're seriously going to look, because lenders look at your 6 months records in terms of your bank statements, etc. So if there's any activity you need to modify or explain, or you need to improve your savings, it's good to be prepared well in advance.
Okay. And for people that are maybe buying second time round, I don't necessarily mean a second house, but they've sold their first or they're in the process of doing so. If you're making that second application, what's your top tip?
So pretty much the same thing. So a lot of people who are moving home, or indeed maybe switching provider because their fixed rate has expired, don't tend to realise that they are going to be examined in terms of financial behaviour. Not particularly scrutinised as a first-time buyer, but certainly they are going to be looked at. So again, it's important to make sure your ducks are in a row and you know what you need to demonstrate in terms of savings, for example, in order to get approved for the move. Because the move in many ways can be more stressful than the first-time buyer, because you're looking to sell your house, but you're struggling to find another house. So there's a juggling act in just ensuring that the sale and the purchase happen at the same time, so you don't need financial complications.
Okay, right. Listeners' questions, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. I have my last mortgage payment in September. Do I need to contact the bank, or will they send me out the deeds?
So
it'd be nice to be that listener, wouldn't it?
Great question. Yeah. And wouldn't we all love to be that listener? You could wait to hear from the bank. I don't think, with respect, you'll hear from them anytime soon. So I think it's important that if you're making your last payment, that you write to the bank, you advise them that you are making your last payment and ask them, can they forward the deeds to you or to your solicitor?
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to be proactive about it and get in touch with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. David says we've under 3 years left in our mortgage, about €29,000 left. Is there any point in changing banks?
I would think not. I think at this stage, if you've a very short term left and remaining, and depending obviously what interest rate you're on, you're probably not going to save a whole lot of money in terms of switching bank. And you may indeed have costs to cover in terms of switching. Equally, most lenders have a minimum loan amount that they will lend out, and €29,000 was probably shy of the limit. So probably not a good idea for David anyway, but would probably be prohibited anyway by lending policies.
My 5-year fixed mortgage comes to an end this February, currently on about 3%. What do I do? Where should I look and where should I go?
Okay, so the first thing is approximately 60 days before that fixed rate expires.
It's 2 months.
Your listeners, lender should be in touch with them to explain what options are available to them with that lender. And that lender may well offer your listener the best terms available to them currently, but they certainly won't tell them that better terms are available elsewhere. So I would suggest maybe 4 months before the expiry of the fixed rate, they get some market-based advice, understand what options are available. And then when they get the letter from the bank, go back to the advisor and say, look, my own bank is giving me this. Can I get a better deal elsewhere? Show me why it's better and explain to me why I should stick or twist.
Yeah. How are the rates at the moment?
So rates are improving. There's a misconception, which is understandable, over the last 6 months that when ECB fell, mortgage rates would fall. There's no direct correlation between mortgage rates and ECB in real terms anymore. So what has happened is that there's been increased competition with lenders, and we've seen an increased level of interest rate reductions on a monthly basis more than anything else. So we're now looking at the market where the lowest rate in the market today is 2.98%. So that's very attractive. Mm. If we go back maybe 7-8 months ago, the lowest rate would have been in the high threes. So not expecting rates to go much lower than that, but rates are have definitely fallen in the last 6 months. And whilst they're not quite at the levels pre-ECB increases in July 22, they are coming down to good levels.
Okay, listener says, I'm on a fixed rate for I've three more years left. I owe about 120 grand on the mortgage. The house is now worth 450. Should I try to go for variable or stay fixed?
So traditionally, variable rates are relatively highly priced. First thing that caller needs to do is to understand that if they are to go variable or indeed break their fixed rate agreement, is there a penalty for breaking the agreement? There may or may not be. There was a time when there was always a penalty for breaking fixed rates. Now it depends on whether or not the bank is going to lose money when you break the fixed rate. So that's the first thing they should do. And then they should then have a look at interest rates that are available in the market. As I said, traditionally variable rates are quite high. So depending on lender, they may get a much better fixed rate elsewhere. They may have a green property, a green rate may not have been available when they fixed initially. So I'd say look at all of your options and make the decision.
Just on the green rates, listener says, I have a 29-year mortgage with PTSB of 275 grand. I'm now 4 years into it. It's currently at 4.5% interest rate. It was a fixed mortgage at 2.5%, but that has ran into a variable mortgage now. I have a BER rating of A3. What and where are my options for a better rate, do you think?
So everybody's different, but the first thing I would do there is contact PTSB. They certainly have better green rates available to existing customers. And as the caller is with PTSB, they may be able to avail of an excellent green rate without incurring any costs in terms of switching provider.
Okay, so just go back to their own bank in the first place.
Go back initially, see what they'll offer.
Would they have a breakout clause, Trevor, if they were even just moving policy within the one bank?
Not for that client, because that client has said that their fixed rate's expired and they're on a variable rate, and there could be no breakout clauses on variable rates.
Okay.
If they were on a fixed rate, there could be a breakout penalty, and therefore, if you're on a fixed rate, you always need to check. But fixed rate penalties do not apply to variable rate mortgages.
This listener says, I'm on a variable mortgage with Bank of Ireland at 4.1%. It would be lower, but my BER rating is G. Is it worth me shopping around? I'm thinking of renovating, wrapping the house. This will bring the BER up, but it likely won't be done for about 18 months.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth their while shopping. That's quite a high rate. So again, my advice to everybody is understand the terms available from your existing lenders and then get market-based advice and understand which is better. Is it better to stay where you are, or can you get significantly improved terms to move? And because of the lack of houses available, lenders are becoming increasingly competitive in terms of their offering for people to move. So cashback used to be a dirty word in the sense that people thought, and quite rightly at one point, that if you get cashback, you're paying for it in the interest rate. Increasingly, there are very competitive market rate offerings which have cashback, but the rates are very, very strong. So absolutely, look around and see, can a lender cover your cost in switching?
Yeah, so and a lot of those cashbacks, because they were out when I was even only looking very recently. Do they only come about the latter part of that cashback when the 5 year fixed or the 4 year fixed term has ended, or when do you typically get that?
No, cashback is up front with pretty much all lenders. Two lenders offer an additional 1% cashback in year 5 of your mortgage, provided the mortgage is still with that lender and has been repaid appropriately.
Oh, so it's only if you continue on with them you get it?
Correct. You get it in year 5, but you will get 1 or 2% from certain lenders roughly within 40 days of completing your mortgage.
Owen is looking for advice for young first-time buyers who are self-employed sole traders. Top tips for them?
Yeah, so the top tip with them is find an advisor who understands the self-employed. So there's a great mystery around the self-employed, and it's very difficult for self-employed people to borrow money. The truth is that if your advisor, be it a branch person or somebody who's a broker, understands the self-employed, there is no great mystery. The big challenge for the self-employed is that they tend to pay themselves when they need to, or pay themselves in a tax-efficient manner. And that's completely at odds with paying yourself sufficiently to get qualified for the mortgage that you need. But as I say, if you speak to an advisor who understands the self-employed market, all lenders are happy to lend to self-employed applicants. The rules being blunt, are the same.
Yeah.
It's really a case of being able to interpret the accounts and understand the drawings.
So should you get that advice? It's typically, what, about 6 months out, isn't it, that you're advised? Is it the same for a sole trader?
Yeah, absolutely. 6 months in advance of any application, get your advice. And if you're self-employed, understand that in order to get the best terms possible, you're going to need at least 2 years' accounts.
Coming to the end of my mortgage, what's the best method for house insurance was tied into the mortgage payment?
Okay, so the house insurance shouldn't be tied into the mortgage payment. What probably happened there is when the mortgage was taken out, the lender offered to arrange home insurance, and the borrower was possibly quite happy to bundle the monthly home insurance and life cover payments
into
the mortgage. Yeah. So no, you're always free to renew your home insurance as long as the lender's interest is noted for the cost of rebuilding the property. You're totally at liberty to arrange your own home insurance with whoever you seem fit.
As a first-time buyer, Paul is wondering, how much can he borrow?
So traditionally, as a standard, a first-time buyer can borrow 4 times income. Income is determined by a number of things. It starts with your basic income. If you earn variable income, such as a car allowance or bonus or commission, they can be included as well. Some lenders will lend up to 4.75 times income for first-time buyers. It's heavily stress-tested. You need to absolutely demonstrate you can afford the increased repayments. So it's a very tough task to get approved for more than 4%, but it is possible.
It is possible.
4 times, rather.
Listener is currently has a house in Ireland, now considering buying a house in Portugal. I have some savings, just looking for a very small mortgage, really. Am I better to draw down that mortgage in Ireland, or should I look for the funds in Portugal?
I would absolutely look for the funds in Portugal. I wouldn't borrow to buy a property abroad on my home here. I think it's important, based on my experience. So in a different life, I was an insolvency practitioner.
Right.
And I worked with a lot of people who during the Celtic Tiger years, and I include myself in this, lost the run of themselves and maybe raised debt on their home here to buy abroad. You can do it. By the way, that's the first thing. There's no issue with it. But if I had a choice, I would probably borrow abroad. And I'd also suggest that the rate abroad, particularly in Portugal, would be cheaper than here anyway.
Yeah, but in terms of just the follow-up to that that listener's question about demonstrating your ability to pay forms, I mean, how laborious is that process? Because you're contacting banks there, aren't you?
You're contacting banks there, but I mean, they're used to dealing with expats in the likes of Portugal, Spain, Italy and France. So you're speaking with somebody who speaks the language you speak. The rules are the same in principle. So I would definitely sound out a foreign lender to understand, are the terms better? And if they are, I would keep the two things separate. But as I said, it's absolutely possible to raise money here with some lenders, not all lenders, to buy property abroad.
So if you had a short or a small mortgage left in your own house in Ireland, you could tie it onto that?
Yeah, potentially you could do that.
Listeners wondering, can a sibling act as a guarantor on a mortgage?
Guarantors no longer exist.
I didn't think
as a consequence of the crash. What most lenders found was not only could they not call in the debt on the borrower, the guarantor was in a similar boat and wasn't able to look after the guarantee. So guarantors no longer exist practically in terms of home loans.
And I have a mortgage which is a tracker mortgage. If I was in a position to clear the loan by selling other assets, do you think I should do that? Does the amount I need to pay come down as the echo rate comes down for a one-off payment on the capital?
So you don't get any discount for a one-off payment on the capital. And really what that caller would need to do is sit down and get a full understanding along with the financial advisor on their financial plan. So in theory, you know, everybody likes the concept of having no debt on your home, but you'd need to understand, what are they selling to put themselves in a position to do that? And does it make financial sense?
Okay.
So it's part of a broader financial plan than just a quick yes or no answer.
Trevor Grant, chairperson of the Irish Mortgage Advisors. Trevor, thanks a million for coming in today and for answering all our listeners' questions.
Thanks very much.
Not at all. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.